Welcome to the Beamsville Church of Christ online ministry. This week's message is titled, Everybody Hurts. Thank you to Ed, Paul, Jim, and Don for being part of the video. The scripture reading is Psalm 15, 1-4.
Morning. Our reading this morning is Psalms 15, 1-4. Lord, who may dwell in your sacred tent? Who may live on your holy mountain? The one whose walk is blameless, who does what is righteous, who speaks the truth from their heart, whose tongue utters no slander, who does no wrong to a neighbor and casts no slur on others, who despises vile person, who honors those who fear the Lord, who keeps an oath even when it hurts and does not change their mind.
Thank you, everyone, for being with us today. Some of you would recognize the name Charles Swindoll. Wonderful man, wonderful preacher, wonderful theologian. And he wrote these words called Deep Grief. The past couple of weeks have been some of the toughest of my life. My emotions have spanned the spectrum. Shock, sorrow, horror, intense anger, betrayal, disillusionment, disappointment, and utter bewilderment. I have prayed without much benefit. I have read the scriptures from the Psalms and Proverbs to the words of Jesus in various sections of the letters from Paul and Peter and James, but without much peace. When something terrible happens that you can't understand, grief wraps its tentacles around you, squeezing and sucking every little bit of energy and joy that you may have been holding in reserve over all these weeks and months. Can't seem to shake at this deep grief. I feel like the ancient prophet Habakkuk, who while in the pit cried out, "How long, O Lord? And why? Why are you silent when the wicked swallow up those more righteous than they?" Or Job, who admitted, "If I speak, my pain is not lessened. And if I hold back, what has left me? He has exhausted me. My spirit is broken." It occurred to me around 4:30 this morning that perhaps the late, great Spurgeon might have understood my grief better than others when he wrote over a century ago his lectures to my students called The Minister's Fits. Who can bear the weight of souls without sometimes sinking to the dust, to see the hopeful turn aside, the godly grow cold, professors and pastors abusing their privileges, sinners waxing more bold in sin? Are not these sights enough to crush us? The lesson of wisdom is, no matter what, be not dismayed by soul trouble. Count it no strange thing, but part of ordinary ministerial experience. Live by the day, maybe by the hour. Be not surprised when men and women fail you. It's a failing world. Be content to be nothing, but to simply love God. There are such treacherous times. If nothing else, they intensify our fear of sinning, which is healthy. As Paul warned all of us, let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. The secret of our finishing well when the journey is over is being willing to take heed of God's understanding along your way, along your journey. No longer should we be saying that perilous times will come. They have come. They've arrived. And we must face them head on. Whatever is necessary to still hang on, to stand firm. We may even now live in that half generation before all hell breaks loose and its fury is contained. We'll be remembered, if we're remembered at all. All those who use their hands and hearts and minds and bodies to plug the dikes of impending doom. So how do you like the sermon so far? Somebody once commented, and I can't remember who wrote it. He said, "I know that life is full of ups and downs, but I don't want any of the downs. All I want is ups and ups and ups." Well, good luck with that. Everybody hurts sometimes. So there's a musical group called REM, which we listen to today. The lyrics of the song, "Everybody Hurts," there's a video that goes along with it that's actually quite profound. And you know, "Everybody Hurts" is really understood by how many people have listened over and over and over again to that song. Guess how many times people have listened to this? 150 million people have listened to that song. Because everybody hurts. When your day is long and the night is yours alone. When you're sure you've had enough of this life, well, hang on. Don't let yourself go, because everybody cries. Everybody hurts, sometimes. Sometimes everything is wrong, so now it's time to sing along. When your day is night alone, hold on. Hold on. If you think you've had too much of this life, well, hang on, because everybody hurts. Take comfort in your friends. Everybody hurts. Don't throw your hand if you feel like you're all alone. No. 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 You are not alone. If you're on your own in this life, the days and nights are long. When you think you've had too much of this life, well, hang on. Because everybody hurts. Everybody cries sometimes. So hold on. Hold on. Hold on. Because everybody hurts. Well, Scripture talks about this over and over again. And so I just went through scriptures and I share these with you. In Proverbs 26 and verse 28, talking about hurts, "A lying tongue hates those it hurts, and a flattering mouth works ruin." Ecclesiastes chapter 8 and verse 9, "All this I saw as I applied my mind to everything done under the sun. There is a time when a man lords it over others to his own hurt." Or in Mark 16 and 18, "They will pick up snakes with their hands and they will drink deadly poison. Yet it will not hurt them at all." Well, that's an interesting concept. You can hear it, but I would be interested in noticing that. Did someone actually do this? Someone was trying to poison someone, but God wouldn't allow that. So in Revelation 2:11, the Spirit says to the churches, "He who overcomes will not be hurt at all." Psalm 15:4. Who honors those who fear the Lord, who keeps his oath, even when it hurts? Proverbs 26 and 28. A lying tongue hates those it hurts, and a flattering mouth works ruin. Ezekiel 28. No longer will the people of Israel have malicious neighbors who are painful briars and sharp thorns. Then they will know that I am the sovereign Lord. How many people here have never had a pain in their life? Me neither. We all have pains. How many people here have just been absolutely devastated at an unexpected loss of a loved one? We all have. Pain is part of life. We don't want to talk about it, but it's part of our life. And through this pain, sometimes there is this light that begins to glow. Job, and if you know that story, there's a lot of pain. He said, my joy in unrelenting pain is that I had not denied the words of the Holy One. I'm not giving up. Job 33, a man may be chastened on a bed of pain. Hebrews 12, no discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. Pain is for everyone. And all of us who are parents, when we see our young children in serious pain, and we do everything we can to help them, or when a baby just can't get comfortable, and cries and cries and cries and cries, and finally that baby sleeps. It's incredible. It's incredible. Pain is part of our life. And yet there's understanding in all of this. There's the word sorrow. Many of us have had great sorrow with loved ones passing. Psalmist says, my eyes grow weak with sorrow. Psalm 116, the cords of death have entangled me. The anguish of the grave came upon me. I was overcome by trouble and sorrow. Then I called on the Lord to save me. And I remembered the words, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. I am with you always. Even when I don't see him, or maybe not feel him, he will not deny us. I am with you always. Psalm 116, the cords of death entangled me. The anguish of the grave came upon me. I was overcome by trouble and sorrow. Then I called on the Lord to save me. Then in the book of Romans, Paul says, I have great sorrow and unceasing anguish in my heart. And that was particularly over many churches that he was wanting to give himself to. And then in Isaiah, this interesting scripture, speaking about Jesus coming. He was despised and rejected by men. A man of sorrows, familiar with suffering, like one from whom hide their faces. He was despised, and yet we esteemed him not. In Scripture, Satan is described as a king or a prince of a nation. In Isaiah 14, it's called the king of Babylon or the king of Tyre or the prince of peace. The prince of Greece, rather. Over the years, we've seen churches implode, divide, and be torn apart. And that was never God's plan. In Revelation 12, John writes these words. And there was a war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, meaning Satan, and his angels fought back. But he was not strong enough, and they lost their place in heaven. The great dragon, meaning Satan, was hurled down, that ancient serpent called the devil or Satan, who leads the whole world astray. He was hurled to the earth. And yet, after all that, John writes these words. Now have come the salvation and the power of the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ. For the accuser of our brothers and sisters, who accuses them before God day and night, has been hurled down. Because of Jesus, they overcame the accuser by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives so much even to shrink from death. Therefore, rejoice, you heavens, and you who dwell in them. Then in Revelation, John writes, praise our God, all you servants, both small and great, rejoice and be glad. Everybody hurts. From hurt and pain to these precious promises, when God writes our legacy. Now the dwelling of God is with us. He's making everything new. There will be no more hurt. There will be no more pain, no more sorrow, no more anxiety. All things will be made well. The last book in the Bible, in Revelation, there is a repeat three times. And that repeat is really, really necessary. Based on difficult times that we've had in the past, here's what God says that we can rejoice in. And here is his words to us. Revelation 19:1. Hallelujah. 19:3. Hallelujah. 19:6. Hallelujah. At the end of Scripture, these words are spoken. Even through pain, even through difficulties, even through challenges, there is a hallelujah. Everybody hurts. Everybody cries. But there is a hallelujah. And these last words. Jesus says, I am making everything new. Hallelujah.
Thanks for watching or listening. The Beamsville Church of Christ meets at 4900 John Street, Beamsville, Ontario. Scripture quotations marked NIV, taken from the Holy Bible, New International Version, NIV, copyright 2011 by Biblica, Inc. Used by permission, all rights reserved worldwide. Scriptures marked NKJV, taken from the New King James Version. Copyright 1982 by Thomas Nelson. Used by permission. All rights reserved. You can learn more about the congregation on our Facebook page or at beamsvillechurchofchrist.ca.